2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome to the Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. This week we are headed to Memphis for the St. Jude Classic at TPC Southwind. And before we get into covering the course here, just want to remind you guys that you can get a lifetime 10% off all DFS Army content using promo code TACO on signup. Use the link in the description. Check out all of our premium fantasy content. We've got daily fantasy content for every single sport there is. We've got World Cup coverage coming up here in a little bit. NBA, WNBA, MLB, NASCAR, of course, and every other sport that's going on. We've got it covered. I just had me a hell of a week in NASCAR. Took home tournaments on both DraftKings and FanDuel. And we had quite the successful week last week in PGA. A lot of big winners there. So come join us at DFSArmy.com. Promo code TACO. Okay, so on to the course breakdown here. TPC Southwinds is a 7,244-yard par 70. Pretty long for a par 70. Now, the course has 11 par 4s, and those are going to be key. Only one short par 4, the rest over 400 yards long. It's going to be where most of the fantasy points are going to be scored from. We're going to want to find guys with good fantasy points per medium and long par fours, and you can see those usually on the research station. Something I've added to the research station this week, each strokes gained category, I kind of broke them down a little bit further. We've got the season-long numbers, but we also are able to look at how they did last time, how many strokes they gained or lost at the last event they played at, and then also an average for the last five events they've played at. And that's going to be key, so you can see who's been good long-term with their like approaches or putts or whatever, and who's just done really poorly lately, or who's done really well just lately. So you can kind of choose which is more important to you, the long-term or the recent term, and see who has, or see the reason why people did what they did their last time out. I know it's always important to look at the last time they went out and see exactly where they went wrong. If they were just losing strokes putting, that's usually a good sign because that can turn around very quickly. You'll notice that short-term putting usually doesn't even correlate with long-term putting because it's kind of up and down. Real random sort of stat there. So I definitely recommend looking for guys who have recently lost strokes putting, especially if long-term they're a decent putter, but are still gaining strokes tee to green here. And when looking at which stats matter the most for this course, of course strokes gained approach and greens regulation percentage correlate the highest with results, but I do notice that this week with all of the par 4s and longer par 4s being such an important factor, we actually see driving distance mattering quite a bit here compared to weeks past. I know that's been completely random and it really hasn't been a factor in previous weeks, and we've been completely ignoring driving distance and perhaps looking at driving accuracy, but the stats show that winners average almost 299 yards off the tee here. Guys finishing the top 10 average 296 yards off the tee, and if you go down further in the averages by finish section on the research station, you can see that the worse a player finished, the lower their driving distance is, and we haven't seen that in weeks past. So driving distance does matter a little bit here. Driving accuracy, not quite as much. It still kind of helps a little bit, but driving distance seems to be pretty important this week, and also long iron proximity, along with iron proximity, but more so long iron proximity, really has a direct correlation with fantasy scoring and results here. comparing guys that made the cut to guys that missed the cut historically. Guys who make the cut drive the ball 4 yards longer. They hit 6% more fairways and 9% more greens in regulation. Wedge proximity, that's something that in weeks past we've seen wedge proximity matter quite a bit. It doesn't really seem to matter too much here. Just looking back, it's not really that huge. Really, strokes gained approach does a nice overall job. We just like to break it down a little bit further sometimes, but with all the long par fours mattering so much, the long iron proximity is a nice little stat to look at this week. Of course, we see strokes gained off of the tee. It's not a complete non-factor, sort of like strokes gained around the green. You know, none of these stats are real non-factors like we've seen in weeks before. Actually, strokes gained off the tee is doing, it correlates a bit more with success than we have seen in recent weeks. This course here, TPC Southwind, it's known for being similar to the Players or the Memorial, just because there's a lot of water in play in a lot of these holes. Tons and tons of double bogeys to be had here. An important stat to look at this week is double bogey or worse percentage. And you can only find that at dfsarmy.com, because I had to make that stat myself. PGA Tour does not have that. You kind of have to make it yourself. And it's really key, especially in cash, to avoid the guys who get into a lot of trouble with the double bogeys and worse. The approach game is going to matter to keep it out of the water. There's a lot of water in play in these approach shots, and like I said, players can get into a lot of trouble. And with the lack of par fives, par five scoring is not going to be as big of a factor. There are 3 par threes and only 2 short par fives. The rest are all par fours. Like I said, the longer par fours. So you're going to want to look at, you know, in the fantasy scoring stat section on the research station, definitely. You could just look at the projected course column, and what that does is it takes all of the different hole types and their fantasy scoring per hole type and just adds them all together in accordance to the course. And you can see real quickly who is expected to score the most points per round, just from raw fantasy scoring on each hole. And then, you know, a GPP, you're definitely going to be looking at just raw fantasy point per hole, just to show you who gets more birdies and bogeys compared to your par scorers. And with the stats, you know, I know approach is important every week. I'd say to look more for the last five. I know that if they gain strokes approach in the last event, that's a really good sign. But you also want to look for their last five averages to make sure they've been hitting these greens consistently. And if they're gaining strokes long term on the entire season, that's another good sign as well. But it could also be a good sign to see guys that who haven't been hitting their approach shots well all season long. Some of those guys are sort of getting into form, and it's nice to be able to catch that before they're too highly priced. And as far as off the tee goes, I do like off the tee stats more than I've liked recently. Driving distance is it's been a complete non-factor in a lot of the recent courses we've gone to. I don't think that's the case here. I think it's important to have a really good, solid off-the-tee game. You know, accuracy, not a complete non-factor here, but still important to look at driving distance and driving accuracy sort of together. Rule of thumb is if your guy has really, really long driving distance and really bad driving accuracy, then it might be a little bit more important to look at strokes gained around the green than some of your safer hitters out there. So just something to look forward to. And course history also, a bit more of a factor here than at other courses. You see a lot of guys here that do well year after year after year very consistently. Sort of like the Memorial in that regard. It would be unlike the Players, for example. You know, the Players has all that water in play and stuff, but there's just so much variance at that course, is where this course seems to be a little bit more predictable, or at least your past performance seems to help you with your performance year to year. You just see guys consistently posting top 10 finishes, as where you know, at a place like the Players, even though the course is kind of similar, you see course history just being completely wild, people missing cuts and then getting top tens and stuff like that. The field strength overall, I know that we have Dustin Johnson in the field, but it keeps getting weaker and weaker as guys withdraw. So far we've had Keegan Bradley, Russell Knox, Ollie Schneider-Jans, and a few more guys. Patrick Rogers is one. And trying to think of the last guy here. Lucas Glover just withdrew. I think his wife might have actually beat him to death this time. It's unfortunate for him. But yeah, guys are withdrawing because everyone's trying to qualify for the U.S. Open right now. It's a week before a major, so it's a bit of a mess in a way. I kind of remind you of how the Shell Houston Open was. You've got guys that have locked their way into the U.S. Open that could possibly just be using this as like a practice round. Like Phil, for example. Phil always does well in the Houston Open, and he always does well here. He just has a thing for doing well at tournaments before majors for whatever reason. And then some other guys, like say Dustin Johnson a few years ago, he just withdrew after a few holes in the first round. It just kind of happens like that. I wouldn't think too much into it. There aren't a ton of really high-end golfers in this field, and a lot of these guys still do need to qualify. It's something that you're going to need to look for as we go along throughout the week, and people go through these qualifiers. And a lot of guys, like the guys I mentioned earlier, are qualifying in these Monday, Tuesday qualifiers and withdrawing from this field because they no longer need to fight for a top 60 ranking to be eligible for the U.S. Open and stuff like that. So this week's kind of a bit of a mess. I'd say play less than you usually would. Save it for next week, the U.S. Open, but I wouldn't completely get off playing this slate because it's still pretty decent. It's not like a horrible field. We've got a few very interesting names, and Mr. Daniel Berger is going for the three-peat here. He debuted by winning in 2016, also won in 2017, so that's going to be interesting to look at. Going through this field here, now that we kind of know what we're looking for, up top we've got Dustin Johnson, $11,700, 7-1 odds right now. Fair enough value for a guy almost 12K, and he just seems like he's so much better than everyone else in this field. Because the guy who comes in second overall in salary on both sites and second overall in the odds books is Brooks Koepka. And I know he's been playing pretty well recently, a runner-up in Fort Worth, but this is a guy who is just coming off of injury not too long ago and has a lot of question marks surrounding him. You've also got, you know, Phil and Henrik Stenson underneath him, and they've also got those question marks. I know Stenson has been good as of late, but these guys have some really bad missed cuts this year. Like Phil Mickelson finished almost dead last at the Players. Henrik Stenson missed the cut pretty badly at one of his best courses, the Valspar Championship, and he hasn't played this course in over 5 years. So up top, Dustin Johnson seems like by far the most bona fide option. Look at his fantasy scoring stats. He destroys the short par fives, and there are only two of them on the slate. So he's going to be lurking for eagles, and if you only have two holes to really get a lot of your fantasy scoring in, you do really want to be good at the short par five scoring to make sure you're going to be able to capitalize on those. And Dustin Johnson capitalizes on those almost better than anyone else in the entire field. When using adjusted field rank, which I really do recommend doing, it's one of the best stats we have for overall performance. As like an overall performance metric, he comes at 7% higher than anyone else, 87%. So on average, he is doing better than 87% of golfers in a given field, and that's adjusted for field strength. And he plays in very strong fields, as he has one of the highest average field strength percentages of anyone in this entire field. A made cut percentage of 84%, and the dude hasn't finished outside of the top 20 all season long. He hasn't finished outside of the top 17, technically, all season long. He hasn't won recently, but he's incredibly due. He's won here in 2012. And this is definitely a field where you'd want to consider him in one and done, because this is such a good spot for him. I know a lot of people are saving him for the U.S. Open. And if you haven't burned, like, say, Phil Mickelson, for example, or if you don't want to just go with one of the cheaper guys, I could see Dustin Johnson being a one-and-done play, because he has a really, really, really good chance of winning here, especially with driving distance somewhat mattering, and that's something that we just haven't seen recently. Eighth last week at the Memorial, gained strokes pretty much everywhere except for around the green, and of all the strokes gained stats, around the green and putting, not as important as the ball striking categories for sure, which he's been great at. So Dustin Johnson, he's probably going to be chalk for good reason, because he's by far the best golfer in this field. So especially on FanDuel, where he's really, I know he's almost 13K there, but he's really affordable just compared to how everyone else is priced there. You really need to consider having some Dustin Johnson stock this week. And as for Brooks Koepka, like I had said, I talked to him at the Wells Fargo Championship. He said he was 100%, and that was not a lie. Since then, he made the cut at the Wells Fargo, finished 11th at the Players Championship, and almost won in Fort Worth. Ended up taking runner-up there. He's been doing really well. Gained strokes at Fort Worth. He gained strokes everywhere. Actually, approaching the green was the category where he gained the least amount of strokes overall. It was just killer on the greens. And if you think long-term with Brooks, he is definitely a big fantasy point scorer. High fantasy point per hole numbers. It's just, with him, it's just the fact that he is so freaking expensive on both sites. 12,400 on FanDuel, 11,100 on DraftKings. He has a pretty good track record of success here. Second in 2016, third in 2015. Just 37th last year, but he's made the cut every time. I don't know if you want to pay that sort of price for him. It's really hard to do that. But, you know, the guy is looking to defend his U.S. Open title and could definitely use this week as a bit of a springboard. I don't know how seriously he'll take it. I imagine he'll take it pretty seriously, because he does have a lot of work to do for this quick turnaround for the U.S. Open after his injury. But there is a chance that, like, if he's not in contention, you know, with any of these top guys, there's always a chance that they're not in contention come rounds three or four. And, you know, if they've got a shot where, you know, it's really risky, but it's a shot like they want to sort of practice, they're going to take that shot. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to play it quite as safe as if they were in contention. So it's one of those things where if he's in contention, then I would sort of play him on, like, say, a showdown slate or whatever. But if these guys aren't in contention, I wouldn't even really mess with them, because they're just going to not really care. They're going to look, their eyes are going to be set on next week, if you know what I mean. You saw it happen at Houston. A lot of guys just gave up pretty quickly, and you could tell they just didn't care. They were completely focused on next week, and that could happen here. But I can't say who, and if any of these guys are in contention, they're going to be serious. I mean, it's still a pretty big prize pool and all that. So looking at Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson here for the $10,000 range on DraftKings, still in the very low $12,000 range on FanDuel. Phil Mickelson's a bit of a course horse here. 5 years in a row, he's finished 11th or better. A couple of runner-up finishes in 2013, 2016, third in 2015. 9th last year, just excellent here, and you know he's gotten a lot of top 10s this season. Just had the one really concerning performance at the Players where he finished almost dead last, but long-term made cut percentage of 86%, that's one of the best marks in the field, second best actually, the entire field. Good adjusted field rank of 78%, high fantasy point per hole numbers, scored more fantasy points per hole than Dustin Johnson. And it's because he likes to risk it for the biscuit, you know. Always great at getting his strokes back from around the green. And his approach shots have been fantastic all season long. Hadn't been that great last week, or the last few weeks. Like, he was really bad at the Players. But at the Memorial, he gained a stroke approach, which is really good. The off-the-tee numbers are not that great because he hits it, you know, he doesn't hit it quite as long. He's getting older, only hitting it 296 this year, and he's spraying it as always. But he's just so good at getting it out. Like I had mentioned earlier, if your guys are going to bomb it anyway, they might as well be good at the around the green game, and that's always been Phil's calling card. So with him, I think it's just going to be classic Phil Mickelson here. You can play him in cash, honestly, with that sort of course history. There just might be other guys you might want to play over him, like Henrik Stenson. Might as well talk about Henrik Stenson here. He's been in very good form recently, 13th at the Memorial, but was in contention for most of the week. Top five at the Masters, and the week before the Masters, sixth in Houston. And if he can have a similar performance this week, that would be a really good sign for him. He's been just killing it as far as the approach game goes. That's like his bread and butter. It always has been. And this year, you can see it, whether it's last week where he gained a stroke or the last 5 weeks where he's averaged a stroke gained, or season long where he's averaged over a stroke gained per event approach. That's just the super consistent part of his game. Always hitting greens regulation and always hitting the fairways. He has a good off the tee game, and a lot of it's due to just his ability to hit fairways with great accuracy. His scrambling game has been weak, but I guess you don't have to scramble it as much when you're on the green all the time, over 75% of the time. And he's been putting it really well recently. So Stenson's sort of like the same old Stenson play that you're always going to make, you know. He doesn't really have any concerns. He was missing cuts earlier in the season, and kind of all last year he was missing a lot of cuts, but you know, long-term made cut percentage right now is at 65% because he had a really rough 2017. But recently he's been making his cuts and doing well. I would definitely look to using him more in cash than GPP. His fantasy point per hole numbers are pretty poor, down at 0.74 fantasy points per hole. Compare that to guys like Phil and DJ, who are almost at one fantasy point per hole. Stenson does like to par a lot, doesn't get a lot of eagles and stuff like that. So, but you know, his odds right now are the same as Phil's. He's just a little bit cheaper, more expensive on FanDuel actually by 100, but 200 cheaper on DraftKings. I just like him. I like him about as much as I like Mickelson. I mean, obviously I like Stenson a lot because I'm quite biased. He's my favorite golfer, but if you take the name away from it, these plays are kind of similar in my book. Phil has the better course history. Of course, we haven't seen Stenson in 5 years here, but he finished 13th. Usually does pretty well. Just, you know, the one thing I do like about Stenson a lot is he does very well, better than any of the other studs, at the long par fours. And there are six of those on this course. He just doesn't score very much outside of those long par fours. And really, those long par fours are more about saving par than it is gaining, you know, fantasy points. So it kind of adds to the cash game narrative of Stenson here. So, you know, Stenson and cash, Phil Mickelson and GPP or showdown. I especially like Mickelson and showdown formats. That's kind of how I feel like going about with those guys this week. And then you've got Daniel Berger at $10,000, $11,800 on FanDuel. The two-time. He's the two-time champion here and has only teed it up twice. So he has 100% win rate here. He's kind of fallen off recently. He had a really good start to the season with a lot of top 20 finishes. Most recently we saw him T57 at the Players, T55 at the Wells Fargo, 32nd at the Masters, you know, just kind of average. But his approach game has been really good all season long. And last time out at the Players, he really struggled off of the tee, and he struggled in his short game as well. He really struggled everywhere outside of his approach game, where he gained almost 2 strokes on the field approach. And those are excellent numbers. And I know that approach is just the most important ball striking or the most important strokes gained stat. But, you know, if everything else is not looking that great, it's like, do you want to ride that or do you want to kind of consider, you know, the fact that he did really poorly off the tee and that's what caused him to lose a lot of strokes and stuff. So the putting I don't care about. Around the green game I don't really care about, especially if he's going to be hitting the greens. But, yeah, I don't really know if Burgle will be the chalk or not. I know there's a good portion of the field that's not going to look at course history at all. They're just going to look at what comes up on the DraftKings game log. And that'll happen a lot more on your lower dollar entries. So if you're playing like the quarter arcade or something, I would imagine that Daniel Berger would be a lot lower owned than if you're playing on like the higher stakes. Those guys are definitely looking at course history, and they know darn well that Daniel Berger has won this twice in a row. And using our historical performances tab, we can easily see how Daniel Berger ended up doing these victories here. So in 2017, he won with a 10 under par, and that was okay. You know, it wasn't the biggest score we've ever seen here, but usually the scores come in at around between minus 9, minus 13. In 2016, he won at minus 13. And remember that these wins are a little bit better than usual. We've come off of a few weeks in a row where there are invitationals with a field size of 120. And at this event, this is a standard 156-person full field. And if you take out the withdrawals, which sometimes are a lot, like for example in 2014, over 13 people withdrew. And this year so far we've had about six or so withdrawals with more to come potentially. But yeah, looking at his stats and how he got those wins, in 2016, he hit the ball 310 yards off the tee with 61% driving accuracy and hit 75% of his greens regulation. Those numbers are amazing. You know, great long iron proximity. 8.7 yards to the hole on average. That is disgustingly good for irons over 200 yards long. It was just on fire with his long irons. That was in 2016. In 2017, hit it 305 off the tee. Again, really good with his irons, 68% greens and regulation percentage, and gained strokes in all three of the tee to green categories, and just floated even in strokes gained putting. Didn't need to do anything on the greens to get that victory. In 2016, he didn't do that great around the tee, just gaining a quarter of a stroke. Gained half a stroke putting, but gained over two strokes approach and over a stroke off the tee. And, you know, that's recipe for success here. Gained some strokes off the tee, gained even more strokes approach, and just have a decent putting outing. And that's the key to success here. Just keep all of your scores under 70. Something else that you will want to consider this week is that lots of guys are going to get the all rounds under 70 bonus. So at the very end on Sunday, the leaderboard is going to get shaken up a lot as people finish their final rounds and get that 5 DraftKings point bonus. So that's something just to keep in mind. You know, it's not something to strategize about. I guess some guys are more consistent at hitting under 70, and I guess they're going to be your guys that avoid the double bogeys and whatnot, so maybe look to that stat. Just know that, you know, with this course, at the very end, the scoreboard could get shaken up quite a bit here. So Daniel Berger just looking like a really nice play, just because his recent approach game and just approach game overall this season has been awesome. If he can just turn it around with the off the tee game from what we saw at the Players, and he could easily have a chance at three-peating, especially at a field like this. You've got Billy Horschel at $9,700 on DraftKings. 4 top 10 finishes in a row for him, 4th last year. It's been a real shaky up and down few seasons for him the last few years, but he's gotten it together recently. I know he missed the cut at the Memorial, but before then he had a really good string of finishes in a row. He really doesn't belong up here with the other top tier golfers, in my opinion. Long-term made cut percentage of 54%, because he was really just tragically bad in 2017 outside of the random win, the Byron Nelson, and then adjusted field rank 52%. So the dude is just playing average golf long-term, but he's gotten a little bit better recently outside of the missed cut last week. I don't expect him to be popular at all, and it's really concerning. He lost almost 2 strokes approach last week at the Memorial. That's just not a good sign. So don't expect me to be on Billy Horschel at all, even though the odds look fairly decent for him. I really think those odds are the way they are just because he's won twice over the last, like, calendar year. Charles Schwartzel also, $9,400 and a very good price on FanDuel, $9,500. Runner-up here last year. Also runner-up at the Players. Ninth at the Wells Fargo, but he missed the cut along with Billy Horschel. They both came T86, missing the cut here last week at the Memorial. Schwartzel's been, he was fine last week. He just lost all the strokes putting, lost well over two strokes putting. So that's a lot more forgivable than the Billy Horschel missed cut, where he missed the cut due to his horrible ball striking. You know, really nice to be able to see stuff like that on the research station here. And Schwartzel, you know, he's going to be a nice play, probably just a FanDuel play. But, you know, the runner-up finish last year and the recent top 10 finishes give him some GPP upside, maybe like a showdown play. But I do like him for the price on FanDuel. Tony Finau, $9,300. $11,700 on FanDuel. He is definitely not a FanDuel play, but a pretty good DraftKings play. Generally makes the cut, 82% mid-cut percentage, 78% adjusted field rank. Just really sexy numbers there. Low driving accuracy and high driving distance, 318 yards off the tee, but about a 50% driving accuracy. And with that in mind, we have to look at his around the green game and how that's been going, and it's been going pretty well. He gained over half a stroke last time out around the green. So far in the season, he gains about a quarter of a stroke around the green, so I really would not mind using Finau at all here, just not on FanDuel, where his price is quite egregious. Byung-Hung An, or Ben An, as the TV announcers will call him, his Americanized name, I guess. Hopefully it never gets changed to Ben An, because I always like using Byung-Hung An, just because I have sort of a rule with Daily Fantasy is that, you know, guys with real Asian-sounding names or names are hard to remember are generally going to be lower-owned. And An has always been like a, you know, he used to be a lot sneakier than he is now, of course, but he used to be like just always so perpetually under-owned, and it was great. I know last season he started to really kind of break out when he was making cut after cut after cut, but he really hasn't had high ownership recently, but he's put together some really nice finishes that should definitely give him some ownership this week, especially his playoff loss last week to Bryson DeChambeau at the Memorial, 7th back at the RBC Classic. That was a par 70 course as well. His numbers looking good, really solid and consistent approach game, off the tee game. He's been gaining strokes consistently, and that's where he's always gained the most strokes in his career. So there's nothing wrong with Benny On this week. And Joaquin Niemann, $8,900, $10,200 on FanDuel. He almost had his breakout win last week. He's winning for most of the tournament, ended up giving a few back, not having the greatest Sunday. And man, his young career has really taken off quickly. He has six events so far this season. He has three top 10 finishes and three missed cuts. The missed cuts aren't horrible either. The one at the Masters, you know, he missed the cut by a couple strokes. That's sort of forgivable. At the Wells Fargo, he missed the cut by a couple strokes. And at the Byron Nelson, he missed the cut by one stroke. But those top 10 finishes are definitely putting him on display. So, you know, you can't really look to a lot of his numbers yet since, you know, his sample size is still quite small, but so far he's just an approach game monster. Just an absolute monster. Gained a stroke and a half, not off the tee. Gained a stroke and a half approach last week, and so far in the season he averages, including the missed cuts, he averages 1.3 strokes gained approach in each event, which is just great. He just can't scramble really well. But his driving accuracy isn't bad for someone that drives the ball as long as him. So as long as he can keep it safe, he shouldn't really have too much of a problem with his scrambling and all that. Hits 75% of his greens in regulation. So let's go there. I mean, Niemann, you know, he's definitely not going to be like 2 or 3% owned like it was last week. It was really nice to have him last week. And that's kind of when you really wanted him. Now it's kind of his stock is going to rise, certainly. even with the added price. So he was a great, awesome value last week. This week, I don't know. He's like, he's more expensive, and FanDuel is, you know, quintuple digits. Like, I don't know about him there. On DraftKings, he's still reasonably cheap. With the top 10 upside he has, who knows? You know, but he's in the field for the U.S. Open already, so I don't. He doesn't really have a ton to play for. But then again, he's still young in his PGA Tour career, and I'm sure he wants some of that cash money in the prize pool. Steve Stricker, $8,800, $9,800 on FanDuel. Just an excellent statistical play. Always gains strokes off the tee just with his good driving accuracy. And his approach game has always been great. He's just been losing strokes putting recently, which is great. That's just awesome. That's what we're looking for. Because he's Steve Stricker. He's one of the best putters of all time. So I'm not worried about that whatsoever. His putting can flip like that. Gained over a stroke approach last time out. On the season, he's been gaining 0.6 strokes approach. Awesome around the greens. Even though he doesn't really need to have great around the green numbers still. The long-term stats are great. 84% made cut percentage. 79% adjusted field rank. And he really seems to make the cut everywhere. Except for, we did see him miss the cut at Houston when he was trying to qualify for the Masters. And, well, what do you know? It's a week before a major again. So you've got to think, like Stricker, you know, he tries to only play the raw accuracy courses, you know, like Sawgrass and stuff like that. He really likes to pick and choose where he plays. And we saw at Houston, you know, a place where he usually wouldn't want to play very much at. He was kind of forced to go there to try to qualify for the Masters, end up doing pretty poorly, missing the cut. I wouldn't say that is necessarily what's going to happen here, but it's important to remember that even though he's been playing pretty well his last few times out, he did sort of have a bit of an injury scare back at the Players, I think it was. He was like holding his back and looking like he was going to withdraw or just miss the cut. Ended up starting to feel better in the middle of the round and put together one heck of a round, came back and had a really good finish. So, you know, with Stricker, it's easy to like him a lot. You know, double bogey or worst percentage of 0.9%, which is one of the lowest marks in the entire field. Just really solid for, like, cash games consideration, but he has some inherent risks that kind of keep me away from using him in cash games. And I haven't even mentioned yet that the only time he's played this course in the last decade, that was in 2016. He finished runner-up. So, you know, this, I think he does want to play here. It's not like Houston where he's desperately trying to get in. Like, he's ranked in the hundreds in the world golf rankings. I think he's, I'm not entirely sure if he is playing to get in right now, but I don't really mind Stricker at all. I'd just keep his ownership in check, because if it wasn't for, like, the injury news, you know, not like there even was much, like, official news or whatever. So as far as I can see, he's fine. It's just there was a little bit of a concern with him last time out. If it wasn't for that, I'd be all over Stricker here. I'm just going to keep it, you know, he's on the Champions Tour, you know. Let's keep it in check a little bit with Stricker. Lots of other good plays in this range. You've got Charles Howell III, $8,600, $11,000 on FanDuel. That's a crazy price, but we'll play him on DraftKings. Generally makes the cut here. Just yet another one of those courses where Charles Howell just has an insane course history of always making the cut. And that's been the name of the game for his entire career, really. Long-term made cut percentage, best in the field, 87%. With an adjusted field rank of only 71%, so he likes to make the cut and then not do a ton with it. But you know, for cash game consideration, a guy that makes the cut 87% of the time, with a double bogey or worse percentage, that's right there with Stricker's among the best in the field at 0.9%. That's cash game safety right there. Peter Uihlein, $8,500. He's had a really bad start to the PGA Tour season, but has recently got it together. Fifth at the Wells Fargo, fifth last week at the Memorial, 21st at Byron Nelson. Guy's been putting together some good finishes. Gained a stroke and a half approach last week, one of the best in the entire field. So Uline definitely gets some exposure to him. He's 35-1 overall in his odds, and that's better than the guys around him like Howell, Stricker, F. Barnrat list, who are all in the 40s or above in their odds. So Uline sticks out in that regard. And outside the approach game, he's been gaining strokes approach, and then around the green, putting, just he's been very consistently average. Not losing strokes, just gaining the smallest amount of strokes, and it's pretty consistent no matter what split you're looking at there. So Uline, I like a pretty decent amount. I liked him coming in from the European Tour. He just had a pretty rough start to the PGA Tour season, but it's not like he is a European guy. He is an American guy. He just he took the Brooks Koepka kind of route of just starting off your career on the European Tour, and he always did well there. I know he missed the cut here by a stroke last season, but he's definitely more comfortable on the PGA Tour this season. That is for sure. And then Kirdak after Barnrat, 8,400, 9,600 on FanDuel. Good finish last week, 13th at the Memorial. Gained a lot of his strokes off the tee because he's a guy that just loves to bomb it and putt. He hasn't been putting well recently, actually. Just for him, you know, he used to be a guy that would gain like tons of strokes putting. Like, that was his calling card. And now it's, you know, it's still pretty good. It's just not off the charts insane. But pretty consistently gaining about 0.6, 0.7 strokes putting. And, like, the thing with him is, like, it's always consistent. He's, like, always a good putter. So it kind of makes, you know, strategizing around that stat kind of difficult with him because he's just always a good putter. You can't find a week where he's not gaining strokes putting. But, I mean, it's not a terrible thing. Afi Barnrat's been making a ton of cuts this season. I know his game log's kind of a bit obfuscated with a lot of his European Tour results and stuff, but the dude's a baller. He has the highest average field strength of anyone in this entire field. Despite that, he has one of the highest made cut percentages. So Afi Barnrat's someone that I'm going to be playing a good amount in GPPs, even though you could almost argue his case in cash. I would just rather go to Charles Howell there for sure. Luke List, $8,300, $10,300 on FanDuel. A bit of a difference there. 18th here last year, and he's been doing really, really well this season. Had a few missed cuts in his last four outings, which have kind of shaken up his otherwise really, really solid form. He was in top 25 mode there for a little bit. T37 last week, and it wasn't bad at all. He's constantly gaining strokes off the tee because he's really, really long off of the tee. And that's pretty helpful here. A lot more so than it would have been last week. So I think List is going to do a little bit better. He's never been able to putt well at all, and that's not gotten any better as we've gone through the season. But his approach game, you know, has turned around. That's kind of his approach game is what kind of killed him in those missed cuts. And he was at least all right last week. Just a really high upside GPP sort of play, Luke List there, but I wouldn't touch him in cash. Going through this $8,000 range, a few names kind of pop up as, like, you know, very questionable, like Ryan Palmer and Harris English. They've been really bad over the last, like, year or so. Like, these guys have a 50 and 51% made cut percentage. 51 and 53% adjusted field rank. So it's really easy to see that these guys have not, you can see with the odds too. They're definitely overpriced on DraftKings. Maybe English is a decent price on FanDuel. But English does have some course history to go with him. He won this event his first time out in 2013. Top 10 last year as well. And Palmer has a fourth and third place finish back in 2013 and 2012. Just the last few years he's been missing the cut, and he just hasn't been good overall, so I would avoid those guys. Maybe a touch of English, but I wouldn't use Palmer. Chris Kirk has been in a pretty good place recently, made five cuts in a row with a few top 10 finishes in there. Just doesn't do much as far as hitting the ball far, and recently has been losing strokes approach and around the green and all that, but someone to just consider for mixing in there. JB Holmes, especially if we hear of any, like, weather or anything. If there's any, you know, like, if there's any rain that would give the Raw Bombers a real chance, that's when I'm more interested in using JB Holmes, although his driving distance hasn't been nearly as long as it has been in previous years. He used to hit the ball over 320 or so. Now he's at 305 on the season this year. But 13th last week at the Memorial. I don't mind JB. Or JB is like a contrarian play or something. It's just all the strokes he gained last week were on the greens. And I don't like attacking guys that just had really good putting weeks, you know? Kevin Chappell, he's really disappeared. Missed four of his last five cuts, but he has a really good course history here. 4th and 22nd back in 2015. Despite all of that, I'm not going to use him because Chappell, on the season, his approach game has been where he's made, you know, a lot of his good finishes have come from him just being dialed in with his irons, but that is just not the case. Last time out, last week, he lost a stroke and a half approach. So that's going to be kind of an avoid for me, even though he looks like a really good odds value. Kevin Chui, they have two Kevins at $7,800 this week, but I am much more likely to use the Chui for 88-1 compared to Chappell at 57-1. I know it's a big odds dip there, but Chui did finish 31st last year, not as good as Chappell did, but his game isn't quite as bad as Chappell's is right now. Chui's made four cuts in a row, seven of his last eight cuts overall. Been pretty good as far as just making the cuts. I know he does better during the Texas swing and in Texas and all that, but he lost half a stroke approach last time out, but at least it wasn't like a stroke and a half like Chappell, you know. I wouldn't want to use a ton of Tway, to be honest. Just I would rather use him over Chappell. I think Chappell's kind of a trap this week. $7,700 range here. You've got a very interesting name, someone we haven't seen since the RSM Classic in the swing season, way back before the season even started here this year. Braden Thornberry. He is a Ole Miss college student. He's here on a sponsor's exception and exemption. That's the word. The sponsor's exemption. He finished 4th here last year. He lives about 30 minutes away from the course. So I don't know how sneaky Thornberry will be exactly, but definitely consider him. He's a guy that hasn't played all year long, yet he's 100-1 on the odds books. That's pretty darn good. And with him finishing 4th here last year, I don't expect him to follow that up exactly. And there are definitely a lot of unknowns with him. We don't really have stats for him on the season because, you know, he's not even on the PGA Tour. It's not like he's priced way down low. If he was priced way down low, he'd almost be a freebie. But $7,700, he's just someone you're going to want to sprinkle in a little bit because he could pop off. Andrew Putnam, $7,700. He's historically been a very bad golfer, but starting to feel almost like a Adam Hadwin or Kevin Kisner type situation where these guys were like horrible golfers for a long time. But out of nowhere, they kind of put it together. And that's what Putnam has done recently. If you remember a few weeks ago, he was the highest drifting golfer on the odds books. He got hammered for some reason or another. That was Byron Nelson, actually. Ended up finishing 42nd, and then 20th at the Fort Worth Invitational. 8th back in Texas. Maybe he's just good at these Texas events. And, you know, 32nd in Houston as well. So, yeah, all of his good finishes come in Texas. So, I don't know, I'm kind of concerned about that. I am concerned about the fact that actually he lost 0.8 strokes approach despite finishing 20th in Fort Worth. So, I don't know if I'll fall for Putnam. I might actually want to use Thornberry over Putnam in this range. He's just someone to consider just because he's, you know, been hitting the ball really well recently, or at least getting a lot of good finishes. Ches Reavy, $7,600. 4th place here last year, and before then, last time he teed it up here, 12th in 2015. Some good finishes for him. I know he's not been as good recently as he was earlier on in the season when he was getting those runner-up finishes and all. 30th at the Players. Did miss the cut at the Fort Worth Invitational. With him, you know, all season long, he had been gaining a lot of strokes approach, and that went away from him for several weeks. Last time out, despite missing the cut at the Fort Worth Invitational, he did gain half a stroke approach in those two rounds. and he was gaining a lot of strokes off the tee, actually. Has a killer driving accuracy of 70%. I kind of want to see driving accuracy pop a little bit more in the stats. That would kind of make me want to use him a little bit more, but I do like how his approach game is kind of coming back, and if it's anything like it was earlier in the season, it was really, really good. He was losing a ton of strokes putting, and that's kind of what made him miss the cut last time out. So if his putting can come around and be normal, maybe that'll be all right. One thing I do notice about Ches Reavy here is that his fantasy points per hole are better than Dustin Johnson's. Seriously, 0.95 fantasy points per hole. The dude hits a lot of birdies. He really does. Some bogeys to go with that. His double bogey or worse percentage is at 1.5%. It's actually a pretty decent mark, to be honest, but he is a high fantasy point scorer, and you wouldn't think of somebody that scores a lot of fantasy points are, but the numbers don't lie. He's pretty good in that regard. Shane Lowry, also, he's similar in the odds and the exact same price on both sides for as Ches Reavy is, but when you're looking at Lowry, his approach game has been even more solid, and it's been consistent, and he's been consistently making cuts, really ever since the Masters, 14th in Houston, and the last three times out, he hasn't put up any really like, stellar finishes. He's just kind of made the cut and done okay, but in the $7,000 range and in a weaker field compared to the fields that we've seen recently, it's not a terrible thing. Maybe he's sort of almost a cash game play, but the approach game is really solid. And it's been solid all season. Just average in every other regard there, to be honest. So I don't mind Lowry much. And then a name that we are used to seeing a lot higher than this, but I don't know, this year he's been very cheap. It's Brant Snedeker. He finished like dead last at the Players almost, like really bad. But he had some top 25 finishes recently that we may have forgotten about. 15th in Texas. 23rd at the RBC Heritage, and last time out at the Fort Worth Invitational, he gained a stroke and a half approach, gained a stroke around the green. The putting's just average, but we know long-term that Snedeker's a pretty good putter, and off the tee, you know, it's the same old, pretty good driving accuracy, but very short off the tee. Snedeker's going to be really sneaky, just his long-term skill is like very good. We know he's a very good golfer. He won the Farmers Invitational not too long ago. He has several wins on tour in his career. I think that Snedeker's gonna break out of the 7K range eventually. Be an 8K, 9K golfer again like he used to be. We saw Keegan Bradley sort of do the same thing until he withdrew here. He was $9,000. And it was nice to see him hit that mark, but nope, can't play him this week. Snedeker, I think, is a guy that I would guess that eventually he comes to and gets back to where he used to be. He's not like terribly old yet. Right now he's just sort of underpriced for me, so I'm going to be using a bit of him. And then another interesting play in the $7,600 range, which I think is pretty good. It's actually the guy with the lowest odds of all, and that's Corey Connors. He's 115-1 on the odds books, which isn't great. The last time out at the Fort Worth Invitational, he finished 8th. And he's made a ton of his cuts this season. You can look overall 79% made cut percentage in his short career of only 19 events. He's made most of those cuts. And he's made 4 in a row with that top 10 finish last time out. Connor's someone to consider for the Canadian Open here in a few weeks. I think it's in a few weeks. I think it's about in a month. Yeah, I think it's in like 3 or 4 weeks or something. He's a bright young Canadian looking to, you know, looking to do some damage out there. He has played this course once in 2015. He did not do well, 122nd. Not good. So keep that in mind. And he did lose almost a stroke approach last time out. That's not the greatest, but despite all that, he had an 8th place finish. So go figure. So yeah, that's the $7,600 range has some pretty interesting plays here. It's definitely not as stacked as you're used to seeing if you've been playing at like the Memorial or Byron Nelson or the Players Championship, Wells Fargo, these stronger fields. You know, this is definitely a weaker field, so you have to be a bit more selective and kind of hold your nose on some of these guys. Going down a little bit here, Ben Crane is a very interesting play this week. I know that he should never be a play that we care about, but he's had some very good finishes at this event. He won here in 2014, top 10 last year at this event, shockingly. I know Ben Crane is never someone that pops up on leaderboards usually, but he has recently. Very surprising, because this is a guy that usually, if anything, he's just going to make the cut, because he doesn't really have any sort of driving distance to speak of, or really just hasn't been that great of a golfer of the last few years. But at this event, he certainly has. 5 years in a row, he's made the cut here. Three of those years in the top 20. An eighth last time out at the Fort Worth Invitational. Also 11th in Texas. And he's made his last five cuts in a row on tour. Man, I don't know. It feels just so strange advocating for this bald guy. But gained a stroke approach last time out. Really gained at least like a third of a stroke in every single category. I had a really good showing at the Fort Worth Invitational. So that in combination with his course history here is just really nice. But just know his fantasy points per hole, 0.59, that's not a good number at all. He might be someone you almost consider in like cash maybe. But I don't know, he's just going to par a lot and not bogey much. That's kind of the play there. It's either him or you're playing Scott Piercy. And looking at Piercy, he's so tricky because his approach stats have always been really good, although they have definitely fallen over the last few weeks, just compared to season-long numbers. It's his putting that's been absolutely atrocious. You can play him and hope that his putting kind of turns around on him, but last time out, we also saw him lose over a stroke off the tee, and that's something we hadn't been seeing from him. So I don't know, his game's just not in a very good place right now, and the only thing he can do is hit approach shots. And, you know, that's important every single week, but it's been important for the last few weeks, and despite his approach numbers, he really hasn't been putting up any redeemable performances. So I'd kind of rather go Crane in this range. And even Troy Merritt, or Sam Ryder, in this range. Troy Merritt's 150-1, Sam Ryder's 175-1, but Sam Ryder's actually gained strokes approach in every single PGA Tour event this season. One of the only guys to do that that's played more than like four or five events. So that's something that's weirdly accurate about him. He usually just loses it around the green. But Troy Merritt has just been making cuts kind of consistently. You know, pretty consistent approach game. They're almost comparable plays, really, except for Troy Merritt has been around and has kind of been a scrub in this tour for a while. Has missed two of his last three cuts here, but he does have a second place finish in 2014. But I'm not using any of these guys a ton, really. I was using Ryder. I think I went in on Ryder at like the Wells Fargo or so. He missed the cut there, but turned around at the Byron Nelson, finished T42. I don't know, they're just, the pickings are kind of slim when it comes to the 7K range this week. Not a lot of really obvious guys you want to go in on. Tom Hoagie, $7,300, he had a really rough month, finished really poorly in Texas, missed the cut by, I'm not sure if he missed the cut or MDF'd at the Wells Fargo in the Players Championship, but he finished 76th and 72nd there respectively. On the last few weeks, he's done all right, 42nd the Fort Worth Invitational, and 13th last week at the Memorial. He gained a stroke and a half approach. Really good numbers there, and he's always gaining strokes approach. He also gained a stroke and a quarter putting last time out at the Memorial. He did miss the cut here last year, but made the cut here the 2 years before that. So Hoag's someone I'd consider. Keith Mitchell, $7,300. Wow, what happened to him? He finished third at the Byron Nelson, and that was his second top 10 finish of the year, sixth at Houston. At the Memorial last week, he finished like dead last. He was like 15 strokes over par. Lost 3.5 strokes approach. Lost a stroke and a half around the green. Lost 4 strokes putting. Did gain a stroke off the tee. He always gains strokes off the tee. So If you go to a bomber's course, maybe you can use Keith Mitchell. But, man, I don't know what happened in between the Byron Nelson and the Memorial Tournament, but it just all fell off a cliff for him. It was just so bad. So, I don't know. I'm kind of really wary of him there, even though his numbers still look pretty decent overall. It's just last week was really bad. Danny Lee, I don't know if I can go in on him yet. He had a really bad showing at the Memorial and at the Wells Fargo. I don't know. He's kind of like hit or miss, maybe like a GPP shot. Austin Cook, he's finally quit making all these cuts. He's missed his last two cuts. So, you know, a guy that has a 78% made cut percentage, think about how good that would be 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think it was like in the 80s. And Cook is supposed to be a really good golfer, and I think he can be a really good golfer still. And he actually played here as an amateur in 2015 and 2014 and finished 22nd and 13th. In those performances. So he could have a good showing here. I just don't like what he's done in the last few weeks. Losing a lot of strokes putting, around the green, approach. You notice that off the tee stats usually stay pretty consistent for guys. Just because your driving is the most consistent skill you have usually. Like your driving distance stays around the same. Usually your driving accuracy stays around the same. And you can kind of see it just with the way that we have the strokes gain set up now. All these other plays in the $7,200 range, maybe some Seamus Power, has had a few good finishes in a row, 20th at the Fort Worth Invitational. It's really slim pickings when you get down to the low sevens. One play I'll definitely point out here that should be very popular, Joel Dahmen, $7,700 on FanDuel, projects very highly, three straight top 20 finishes for him. The Wells Fargo, Byron Nelson, and Fort Worth Invitational top 20 finishes in all of them. And last year, another top 20 finish, 18th here at this event in his debut. So Dahmen, someone to seriously consider here. Gained almost a stroke approach last week, and usually gains a quarter of a stroke overall. So that's his best stat, honestly, is the approach. He really just has a overall his strokes gained are, they're not huge, they're just slightly above average in every single regard. Doesn't have too much of a weak spot. And really in all facets of his game, like his driving distance and accuracy, it's all just, he's like an overall solid dude, just not like great at anything. But he has done well at courses recently that require a player to have a well-rounded skill set. So Dahmen's definitely someone who is hot. You might want to get on him now before his price jumps up to the 8Ks or so. If he has another good finish, if he has like a top 10 finish here, he's definitely going to be somebody. Not at the U.S. Open, of course, but like the next time we see him out there, he could have a really elevated price like we saw with Aaron Wise or Joaquin Niemann. So definitely get on Dahmen now because he's going to be high-owned here in the near future. Von Taylor also, not a bad play, $7,100, good approach stats and stuff. For 7K and under, it's really, really hard this week. You have to kind of hold your nose and take some guys. Like Matt Jones, we're probably just going to take, just because, you know, he hasn't been good this season, but last time out, he was 13th at the Byron Nelson. And his last three times at this event, he's finished 18th, 26th, and 3rd. And you've also got John Ha at 6'9". Way expensive on FanDuel. Way too expensive there. But on DraftKings, he could be okay. He's had a few decent finishes in a row. And Abraham Ansah, or I guess it's Abraham Ansah, I don't know. He finished 18th in his debut here in 2016. That's the only time that we've seen him out here. But he has a few good finishes in a row. Really good round one showdown play, I'd say. He's had some really good, like really hot starts that have fizzled out, and that's been kind of his MO the last few weeks. But he's been making cuts, 78% made cut percentage long term. So kind of sneaky there. For $6,900, you'll take that. And his approach game is fine. Gained half a stroke approach last time out. That's good to see. Then Stuart Sink. $6,800. I know he's only made one of his last five cuts, okay? It's been really rough for Sink. And last week he missed the cut at a course where he had made the cut 20 out of 21 times, okay? So take this with a huge grain of salt. I kind of did the same recommendation last week. But the weird thing is he missed the cut, but he still gained 0.77 strokes approach. And he's gained strokes approach in, I think, 10 out of 11 of his events this year. Like, he's consistently doing all right in the approach game. He's just putting horribly. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, the strategy, I guess, is to attack the guys who are putting horribly and hoping that they could putt okay. If he putts okay, his approach game is so good that he could turn it around. But the truth of the matter is he has still missed 4 of his last 5 cuts. So, you know, keep that in mind. But the plays around him, you really don't want to make many of these plays. Like Nate Lashley, Sam Saunders, you know, Nicholas Lindheim, I guess he's made 4 or 5 cuts in a row, really 4 top 40s in his last 5 events, and that's okay, but his approach stats aren't good at all. You know, once you get down this part of the field, you have to either just plug your nose and pick a random dude and hope he does okay, but most of these guys are going to miss the cut. It's a full field 156 person event. You're going to have more guys missing the cut than not. Down at $6,500, there are a couple of plays to consider. I'm waiting on odds. I don't have any odds out for TJ Vogel, but he has been killing it in the qualifiers. He's someone to consider here. And Eric Axley, he's made 4 of his 5 cuts on the season and has done pretty well. Really, really nice approach numbers from him. So at $6,500, just roll the dice with these guys. Fuck it. That's all I can really say. I can't recommend anyone else down here. It's just so bad. So, yeah, that's going to have to do it for me. Good luck in your contest this week. Just try and be contrarian out there. I know it's hard because a lot of people are going to gravitate to a lot of the same plays. And it's really a slim pickings here. But try to get you some qualifiers for the U.S. Open next week. Going to have really good coverage of that. The salaries, I would imagine they would be dropping sometime within the next few days. We'll try to get a research station for that out early. Get our study on early for the U.S. Open. It's going to be a good one. Hope you guys have success this week and can parlay it into next week's U.S. Open. Hope you guys have a really good day. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game. Yeah.